The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
We have with us chef extraordinaire Gareth Munns, because every Friday here on The Pat Kenny Show, we bring you a delicious dish so you can treat yourself at the weekend. And Gareth Munns is, of course, the executive chef at the Marker Hotel. And he is doing something today that is, I think, a bit of a forgotten specialty, because there were a number of things that happened in the... And Gareth will, of course, tell me I'm wrong on all this, but my understanding is there were a number of dishes in the 80s that, frankly, are just great dishes. But they have been slid into memory because so many people did them and did them badly. Black Forest Gatto, I would argue, is one of them. The prawn cocktail is another. There's a lot to be said for a great prawn cocktail. But prime amongst them is the creme brulee. Because there was a period in the late 80s, early 90s, where everybody was flinging creme brulee at you. You couldn't sit still without a creme brulee. And it meant that we got very accustomed to bad ones. Well, Gareth is going to walk us through the good ones. Is any of that accurate, Gareth?
It's all accurate. And you've chosen a couple of my favourite things of all time. A Black Forest Gatto, there's nothing better.
Isn't it amazing?
If it's done right, and it's made correctly. And the classics, I think, should be left alone and served as classics. And I've decided today to do something that I'm going to go out and say it's probably one of my favourite desserts of all time. A creme brulee is a beautiful thing. And it's something that I think people are afraid of because they're worried about getting a bowl full of scrambled eggs. And that can happen very, very easily if the temperature is not correct.
Well, I have to say, I'm hugely relieved, because last night I was thinking, this is one of those where he's definitely not going to do it. He's going to talk about it but not do it, because there's no way he's bringing a blowtorch into studio. You've brought a blowtorch
into
studio.
And here I am unpacking my bag frantically with blowtorches, and I'm looking up to see, am I going to set the alarm off? So, but what a creme brulee basically is a set egg custard. So that's basically what we're trying to achieve. So what you need for that is you need 5 large egg yolks, you need 50 grams of caster sugar, and a little bit extra for caramelising, and that's where the brulee part comes in. We need a vanilla pod, and I would say let's push the boat out here a little bit and get a vanilla pod. Like, it really makes the difference. 200.
Oh, plus they're dead cheap. You're bound to have a couple of them lying around.
Sure, most of us have them stuck in the press anyway somewhere. They're a little bit, that's the indulgent part, but it's definitely worth spending, I think, for 280 mils of double cream. And again, try and get double cream if you can, and 100 mils of milk. The garnish that I'm going with today is some blackberries and a little bit of softly whipped cream, just for a little bit more cream, because there isn't enough there already. So how we make this, you need to preheat your oven to 140 degrees or gas mark 4. You could even go a little bit lower if you wanted to. It'll just take a little bit longer to cook, but definitely not any higher than that. So what you're going to do is you're going to pour the milk and the cream into a small pot, and you're going to split the vanilla bean. All you do is lengthways, you run your knife down the centre of the vanilla bean, and then you use the back of your knife to scrape out those fantastic little vanilla pods, and then into the cream, and then onto the stove, and you're going
now
to...
Now, do you fling the pod in as well?
The whole shooting gallery. The whole lot. Just lash it all
in. But you'll fish him out at a later date.
So I'll give you a little trick to do. When you take him out, give him a little run underneath the tap, and then throw him into your tub of caster sugar. So every time then you go and make a recipe, it's going to be scented with that vanilla. So please...
Does that work? Because I've heard it. And I've, does it?
Yeah, and look, if you're a man like me that makes a lot of creme brulees, then your tub with your caster sugar ends up having a lot of vanilla pods in there. And it definitely... If you're making coffee and you fancy a little vanilla coffee, throw a spoonful of that in and hey presto. So then what you've got to do is you need to whip the egg yolks and the sugar in a bowl. So we're after putting the cream into the pot. We've put it on the stove on a medium heat and it's coming up to the boil. Then what we need to do is add the egg yolk and the sugar into a separate bowl, and we're going to whip that until, with a whisk, just keep beating it until it starts looking a little bit pale.
When you say a whisk, you mean a mixer, because I'm lazy, isn't that right?
No, I think a whisk here. We need to, elbow grease, come on now.
You don't have to
really whip it up, because when you add the hot cream into it, it's going to take the air out. So
okay, so I'm not going to be here for a week and a half.
You're not making souffles here, exactly. Right. So you're just bringing it together. What we're trying to do here is make sure that the sugar gets melted into the egg yolks. Then what you do is you pour the hot cream in on top of that sugar and egg yolk mix. And this is important. Make sure you're whisking while you're doing that, because you are pouring hot cream onto eggs. And that's one of the pitfalls where you could end up with scrambled eggs. Okay, so after we've done that, we need to get our...
It has to be hot going in on top of the eggs to cook them though, does it?
Yeah, well, it just speeds up the process for when we put it into the oven. So then what we're going to do is get our little ramekins ready. You can see here, I have a couple of flat dishes. So I'd put four of them into a tray that goes into my oven. I will put that tray into the oven without pouring the mix in, and then I pour a little bit of water so it comes up to the edge of the ramekin. When it's baking in the oven, the water in the tray is what protects the brulee from getting too hot. So that's an important technique.
Because the water can never go above 100, exactly. So it pins there it below that.
100%. So what it does is it just keeps a nice, consistent... I'm going to give you a real chefy word now. It's called cooking au bain-marie. So it's cooking in a bath, basically, is what we're doing. So I think that'll explain it well for people. And then rather than trying to walk across to the oven with the tray with the water, that's why I'm saying put it in the oven first. And then you just take that brulee mix and you pour it into the ramekin dishes up as close as you can to the top. Then gently close the oven door, and it's going to be in there anywhere from 25 to 35 minutes.
And how do you know when it's done? Because that's a 10-minute range. So, because you don't want to be poking fingers in hot
you
creme brulee.
You don't, but if you just open the door up, and if you give it a little wobble, you'll see that it'll be set. If it's moving as like soup, then it's not, it hasn't set. But you'll see it'll want to move as one piece, so it'll wobble like jelly. And when that happens, then open the oven door, allow it to cool a little bit so it's easier to handle. And then rather than again trying to lift the tray out, what I would say is lift the brulees out of the tray and then give them a wipe, pop them into the fridge. And then the next bit is where the magic happens.
Now, how long can they live in the fridge before the magic? Is it overnight?
I mean, ideally, they need to be in there for a couple of hours. But if I was doing this for a dinner party or if I was doing it for a function in work, we definitely make them the day before. And they last in the fridge for 2 or 3 days, really.
Oh, do they? Oh, that's handy. Yeah. So you could do a clutch of them if you had people over and say, I'll drag them out.
And I definitely think, like, if you like whiskey or if you like, strawberries, or it's the type of recipe that will take a little nip of whiskey into it. So you can make a whiskey creme brulee, or you could take a little bit of Bailey's and make a Bailey's creme brulee. I mean, literally the sky is the limit. And then when it comes to garnishes, I've chosen blackberries here because they're just the season is just about to start. They're kicking around. So what we need to do then, you need to lightly dust the top of the brulee with sugar. So you're watching me doing it here. Uh-huh. I've thrown a pile on and now I'm going to tap it around so the sugar goes all the way around.
Oh, that's interesting. So just to explain, you've tilted it right and left and sort of shook the sugar. So it's quite a thin layer of sugar. You don't need it. You're not making a cement floor on top of it.
The problem is if you put too much on, the caramel or the sugar will start to burn rather than caramelise. And then what we're going to do, we should get away with this. I maybe won't do it all because of another one done.
Oh, that's always the sound that makes everybody in health and safety happy.
So all the plumbers out there have all just picked, they're looking around. What's going on there?
Somewhere
so
a joint is getting
soldered. So all we're doing now, if you just look, I'm making my way across the brulee. I'm not staying in one. And you can see now that sugar is starting to caramelise. Yeah, with the blowtorch, the top of the very tip.
Oh yeah, it melts first. It melts. Goes to liquid first and then it starts to brown up.
There's a temptation to stay there. We don't want to do that. Move your way around. Keep moving around. And you can see now the caramelisation. I haven't set the fire alarm off, which is
no,
amazing.
No, not yet. We're doing well. Yeah. And you got a nice brown.
Yeah.
And are you looking for that to be even, or do you want it a little uneven to give it a bit of character?
So what we want to do is we want to try and get an even caramelisation. And see the way it's starting to go much darker now.
Yeah, and really
that's
bubble.
What we want. That's the caramel flavour that we're looking for. So a lot of people would stop there now. Uh-huh. I would say, be brave, keep going. We want nice caramelisation all the way around. And look how shiny it's at the go.
And you just keep working around and going to the lighter coloured bits until you... And so it now has the colour effectively of about as dark as you'd ever take toast before you'd bin it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful analogy.
No, thanks very much.
Come up with that. Well done, chef. Like it. So what we end up with then is... What's going to happen then? And I'm going back to my box of tricks here because I want you to hear this. We've got... You probably
can't
hear that.
Well, oh, you can. It sounds like
exactly,
glass.
It's caramel.
So, and now, can you put that back in the oven and leave it, or back in the fridge and leave it for a while?
No, so what would happen if you put this back into the fridge now, it'll bleed. So the sugar would start to bleed. So if you made caramel or if you made a toffee, you'd never put it back into the fridge because the moisture in the fridge is going to react with the sugar and it's going to make it all wet and then it won't be a good thing. I've just a little bit of softly whipped cream in... bag just because I wanted to
smell
the caramel.
Yeah, it smells like candy floss. It smells like you're at a carnival. Oh my
exactly.
God.
So then I've just put a couple of blackberries on the top. I got one more for good measure. And then also if you're having a dinner party, when you whip out the blowtorch and you start blowtorching in front of everybody and everybody's had a couple of fizzy drinks and you're going to be a legend, I promise.
Nothing says this party is kicking off like when you whip out the blowtorch.
Exactly.
Gareth, am I going to be allowed to taste this or do I have to just sit looking at it?
Exactly.
Hand it around the Perspex screen because for social distance or another. So this and what you so you the whipped cream and the,
a little bit. Now you could of course serve ice cream. I didn't have a freezer here. If you wanted to put a bottle of ice cream. But the key with a good brulee for me is texture, vanilla. You know, it needs to be nice and
perfectly
creamy.
Perfectly set. It's because it's not liquid. It's just
little. Exactly. If it's liquid, it means that you haven't put it into the. If you haven't left it in the oven for long enough.
You're a wonderful, wonderful human being, Gareth. If people want to get the recipe, I assume we pop that up on our website.
If you shoot over to Gareth Mullins, my Instagram, I throw it up there, and it's over on my Twitter as well. So
delicious, Gareth. Thank you so much for coming in.